Welcome to the Good Glow podcast with Dr. Mindy Pels. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash. I've had such a glow over the past few months since I started using this product because unlike ordinary body washes, it's made with 24-hour renewing micro moisture. It's a groundbreaking new technology from Dove that deposits millions of tiny but powerfully moisturizing droplets that instead of getting washed off, absorb deeply and continuously work with your skin's natural renewal process to strengthen your skin's barrier and help retain and boost moisture even after your shower. So why not try Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash, available now nationwide. So Dr. Mindy is back on the Good Glow today after our last podcast. As I say to Mindy at the start of this episode, the Good Glow absolutely blew up. I was getting so many messages from people and lots of you were sharing the episode with your friends and in your WhatsApp groups, and I really appreciated that. So Dr. Mindy has, deepened her message and has more amazing advice to share with us today. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. Oh, and by the way, I'm actually in Chicago as I'm recording this. We are running the half marathon today. So if you want to keep up with what we're getting up to, head over to my Instagram page at georgie.crawford. And if you want to come with us to run the half marathon in New York on Paddy's Day, check out thegoodglow.ie. As I said before I pressed record, Dr. Mindy, everything blew up for the Good Glow the week that you were on the podcast because so many people resonated. So welcome back. And yeah, I'm so thrilled that you're here again. How are you?
Thank you. Well, it's been quite a journey since I last chatted with you. Fast Like a Girl just took over the world. And again, same reason. I think women finally understood themselves. And then we wanted to go in and help women understand how to eat, like in the eating window. And so we've now got Eat Like a Girl coming out, which is, I hired some chefs to create amazing recipes for women. And I explained the food philosophy for women. So I say all that to say, I'm great and I've been busy.
Yeah. But yes, you still have a glow. You look like the picture of health. So you're obviously doing all the things to keep yourself well during this busyness.
Yeah. You know, my health is a non-negotiable for me. It's my top priority because I can't be the author I want to be. I can't be the communicator I want to be. I can't be the mother I want to be, even though my kids are older. I can't be the wife I want to be if I don't have my health. So I'm really, really clear that I always put my health first. And for me, it's lifestyle. It's like eating right, fasting, moving right, sleeping right, like just really prioritizing those things. And when you do, you have a sense of energy that feels limitless.
Yeah, I love that because actually I chose to get healthy after I had cancer, but I felt like I had no choice. So sometimes when I'm making healthy decisions for myself, I am wondering, is that coming from a place of fear?
Oh, that's so interesting. So I've sat with a lot of people who've had cancer. Like when I was in clinical practice, one of my specialties was lifestyle for people who, you know, needed to heal from cancer. And I think cancer actually is a huge motivator. And I think that's brilliant because there's like, you're up against a wall. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a choice now. You have to take better care of yourself. But what I learned in watching these women go through these cancer diagnoses is that actually we all should pretend, and hear me out, we should all pretend like we have a cancer diagnosis and we should be that vigilant about our healthcare. But now we should all look at you and be like, you're inspiring us to take care of our health before we get the diagnosis. So that can be your message to the world. It's just like, why wait till the diagnosis?
Yeah.
You just got a glimmer of something that was really scary. So if that's motivating you, phenomenal. But we can all learn from you.
No, I love that because I think, you say in your new book, which is amazing, Eat Like a Girl, you say health is not a destination. It's an ongoing journey. It's something we choose every day. And I think so many people are waiting around until they get sick in order to change. Yeah. So how do we get the motivation? If we're kind of just ticking along, we don't feel great, you know, everyone else is a priority except for ourselves. How do we get the motivation to begin a health journey?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is such a good question. Here's one of my favorite phrases. You don't need motivation. You need momentum. So if you're trying, I always used to tell my patients that there's like this version of you that you want to be, this healthy version that you want to be. And then there's the person you are today. And then there's a big gap in between those two. There's like, and it feels daunting, but every single time we are bring on these big, like daunting journeys for ourselves. Like I'm going to go think about what happens in the new year. Everybody's like, I'm going to the gym, at least here in America. Everybody I'm going to the gym, and then they go and they don't know why they're there. Maybe they don't hire a trainer. They just pop on some of the machines, and within 2 weeks, they don't see any result and they're done. Mm-hmm. So it's momentum. So in your case, and in the busy mom case, what is going to give you the most momentum? Is it going to be getting up and walking 20 minutes every day? Is it going to be maybe if you can go to sleep a little bit earlier? Is it going to be that? Is it going to be like what is going to give you? I can't answer that for you, but this is why I love fasting, because the minute I can tell you, eat whatever you want. I just want you to eat it in a certain time, compressed eating window, and you have this longer place for fasting. Now, usually women start to get that momentum, and then every other health habit becomes easy.
It's like what James Clear said in Atomic Habits, just cast your vote.
Yes.
Just one tiny little thing at a time. And then eventually, you know, you're like, oh, my skin's cleared up, or, oh, right. I have more energy, and, oh, I'm choosing the healthy food without thinking twice about it, because each decision you can cast a vote. So your new book, obviously Fast Like a Girl, is such a huge global success. And so quickly this book has come afterwards. Did you find that there was unanswered questions? Like what's in this book? Is it a follow up?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So, what happened with Fast Like a Girl is that two things. Women were finally given a tool that they could drop weight, they could balance hormones, they could get their mental energy going. Like the whole idea of there's a fasting window and there's an eating window throughout your day, and you map that to your hormones, became like this unquenchable idea that women just wanted to know more about. And they got results when they were in the fasting window. But the challenge became, we got so many messages about, I'm confused on what breaks a fast. I'm confused about what I can eat in the fasting window or drink in the fasting window. I'm confused about, like, I have food addiction problems. I have a poor relationship to food. Oh my God, how many women have a horrible relationship with food? And I started to see that why fasting worked is because I was able to put all these women's attention on something other than diet calorie restriction, or, you know, eat this, don't eat that, and just like pause eating for a hot moment and let's see what your body does. But the minute we went back into the eating window, there was it was mayhem. And the number of messages we got. My big thing is that food should be delicious. Like I'm a foodie. Just because I'm a fasting expert, like you will find me in a restaurant really enjoying food. I like high quality food. So I hired two professional chefs that made over 100 incredible recipes. So it's a beautiful book. It's a cookbook with a food book in the front on how women should eat. And then I give you all, it's like the back half is like the action. I give you all these recipes. Now you get to experience what good food feels like. And I can't wait for it to get out to the world.
It's so funny. I'll give you such like a silly example, but it came up for me before this podcast. So when I first moved in with my now husband, he loves chicken. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with chicken, but I don't like chicken. Yeah. But in order to just make life easier, to just bob down the river, I used to eat chicken all the time. So when I got sick and in my recovery and I was choosing, you know, what fills me up and what keeps me well, I remember saying to Jamie, like, I ate chicken for 5 years because of you. And he was like, Jesus, like, why? You didn't like it. Like, I didn't make you eat it. You just didn't have to. And I was like, I know, Jamie, but it was just the an easy life. And I think, especially as women, we're just going to choose sometimes what's easier, or eat the kids' leftovers, and we're really depriving ourselves of the nutrients we need.
Oh my gosh, there's so much depth in that statement, and this is what I want to say to every woman out there, is we are professional people pleasers. We are adapters and often do what's right for everybody around us, and we do it at the expense of ourselves. And I call it betraying ourselves. Like, we are willing to do everything for everybody else and betray our own desires. And you're using food as a beautiful example, but we do it with everything. We do it with our opinions. We do it with what we feel is right. We will often adapt to the other person. There's an interesting feminist philosopher here in America that I've been studying and is going to be part of my next book. And she has a idea called In a Different Voice. And sit with this for a moment. What she has done is she's looked at 11-year-old girls and boys and 13-year-old girls and boys. And if you ask an 11-year-old girl what she wants to eat, she will tell you exactly what she wants to eat. She will say, oh, I want mac and cheese, or I want this. But when you ask her at 13 what she wants to eat, what she will say is something like, I don't know, what are you eating? Because what happened in those 2 years was hormones. And once those hormones come in, we now have a whole new behavior system. And that behavior system is actually like gearing us towards connection, and connection becomes incredibly important. So we don't want to choose, like your point with the chicken. We don't want to tell you we don't want chicken, because it would disrupt the relationship. And our hormones demand that we stay in relationship with you. When you understand the personality of hormones, you start to see that there's this neurochemical experience we're having. And because like estrogen, I call it, estrogen brings her girl gang. Estrogen brings serotonin and dopamine and acetylcholine and oxytocin and BDNF. When you have estrogen coming in the front half of your cycle, you're not just getting one hormone, you're getting all these neurochemicals that help you have an experience with another person, changes your personality. And then in the back half of your cycle, when progesterone comes in, GABA comes in. Mm. And so what ends up happening is we are always adapting according to whatever this neurochemical situation is in our body. And my other theory is that when these hormones go away, like in menopause, this is why menopausal women will tell you like it is, because they no longer have the buffer system of their hormones.
Wow. Can I talk to you about broth? Because I know broth is such a, I think it's more available in the US. That probably sounds like a stupid thing to say, but I find like Ireland is a little bit behind America in terms of trends and things like that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? So one of the chefs that I hired, he has worked in many high-end restaurants here in America. And then he actually studied in Spain and studied from elder women in Spain. And they passed down a bunch of secret recipes to him and stuff. It's a really interesting story. We just did a whole podcast on it in my podcast, the Resetter podcast, about it. And he tells the story. But one of the things we were talking about is how every culture has broth, just different versions of broth. Does Ireland have a broth?
I'm just thinking now. So we would have this broth called coddle, which is like sausages and stuff but it's in broth.
So if you actually start and go global, you'll start to see that every culture has a broth, which I think is so interesting. Why would every culture have a signature broth? Yeah. And it's because broth is so healing. There is something because you can take all these incredible nutrients. Like, well, let's use bone broth as an example. You can take the collagen, you can take the glycine, you can take all these nutrients and you can put it in a bowl of water and you're pulling those nutrients out of these bones. You can't eat a bone, but you can pull out these nutrients into the broth and now you get the healing power of broth. I know here in America, when we were sick as children, we got chicken broth. Nice. And there's actually like beautiful science showing that chicken broth actually dilates the bronchioles in our lungs, which is why innately grandma and mom gave it to us. So the topic of broth, I think there's two things for us all to think about is it is healing. You can get more nutrients in broth that you may not get in anything else. And it's a beautiful way of looking at how it connects every single culture in the world together. Because we all have a signature broth. It's like all of a sudden you realize we're one people. We're not countries. Because when you look at, we all have different ways of using this healing art of making broth.
Oh, that's beautiful. And vegetarian or vegan broth, like, does that have benefits?
So let's talk about broth in the connection of going back into the eating window. Yeah. So I like broth as your entry back into your eating window. And I talk about this a lot in Eat Like a Girl. It's, you know, when you haven't been eating, especially if you've been fasting a longer period of time, you don't just put a steak or something, you know, you definitely aren't doing fries or maybe you guys call them chips. Like, you know, you're definitely not doing that. That would be so hard on the microbiome. So you go in with a healing broth. I love bone broth because I eat meat and it's great for your digestive system. It has something in it called glycine, which can repair the inner lining of the gut. So, but then we really came up against, well, what do we do if we're plant-based? And so one of the chefs I hired is a plant-based chef, and she is a master chef at the Four Seasons Resorts. And I asked her specifically, can you make me a vegan broth? And we sat down and looked at this because what she informed me on is there's 23,000 edible plants on our planet. And she's on a quest to figure out how to cook and use 23,000 edible plants. And so I dove into, well, which one of these plants would be healing to the gut in a broth form? And we came up with a mushroom broth. So in the Eat Like a Girl, there is a functional mushroom broth in there that plant-based, I mean, everybody can use it, but plant-based people can use to break their fast with. So we talk all about it in the book. So, but broth is health. Broth is health. Let's start looking at it like that. Let's not leave it out of the eating window. You know, it's a beautiful escort into the eating window.
Okay. And would you recommend that you have your broth before even a coffee or anything like that?
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So this brings up a bigger point, which is, when you're fasting, you're creating this beautiful healing experience in your gut. And your gut is getting rid of all the old stuff, like all the bacteria that just doesn't help it anymore. And it's taking microbes in the gut and causing them to reorganize themselves. So there's this beautiful healing response. And it doesn't matter. I mean, even if you're 12 hours into a fast, 13 hours into a fast, there's still a microbiome change. What you put, that first food that you put on, is either going to help those microbes become stronger or is going to kill the change that just happened inside your gut. So broth is great because you can go in with a broth. It's most likely not going to spike your blood sugar. And you can use that as a healing tool to like keep those microbes and that gut change, like make sure it lasts. And then you could go into a flat white, then you could go into food. But it's just a beautiful healing tool that should be before everything.
That's stunning. And remind us, Mindy, like what would be the minimum time that would be considered a fast?
Yeah, so 12 hours is about what we say. So, and the way I explain it is we have this metabolic switch and you need about 8 hours after your last meal, what is happening is your body is trying to go over to that other fuel source. It's trying to switch over to the fasting window. That typically takes about 4 hours. So just for new fasters, I just want to point out, sometimes that 4 hours is uncomfortable because you're switching over. But the more you do it, it gets more and more comfortable. So 12 hours is the mark. And then you're now starting to get the benefits of fasting that I spoke about in Fast Like a Girl.
Yeah, it's so accessible though, really, when you think about it, like have your dinner at 7 p.m. and you could be eating again by 7 a.m. the next morning if you choose. Yeah, and you've still fasted.
Yeah, it's just really like in that scenario, it's really intentional because now you, let's say you close your eating window at 7 p.m. That means no drinking, like no beer, wine, alcohol after that, and no night snacks. So you have to be really intentional not to do that. And then when you get, because that's where people get tripped up. And then in the morning when you wake up, you're on 7 a.m. that you're already 12 hours in now.
Just a short break to thank Dove Advanced Care Body Wash for supporting the Good Glow this season. It's a big year for Dove. This is their best ever body wash with 24-hour renewing micro moisture. If your self-care needs an upgrade, you can choose to pamper, deeply nourish, hydrate, or gently scrub with 10 gorgeous variants. And it's also free from sulfates, has biodegradable ingredients, and is packaged in recycled plastic bottles. So say goodbye to dry skin this season and step out feeling more beautiful and confident in your own skin with thanks to Dove Advanced Care Body Wash.
One of the greatest studies, I think we talked about it last time I was here, one of the greatest studies for women was done on 13 hours, and it was a large sample size. And what they found was 13 hours of fasting. They did it on women who had breast cancer. I'm sure I told you this story.
You did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they found that if all these women did coming out of traditional breast cancer treatment, if all they did is fast 13 hours every day, they had a 64% less reoccurrence of cancer. That's now, amazing. Back to the question you asked earlier, like I saw that study, I sat with so many women that had breast cancer. I'm like, why would I wait till I have breast cancer to do that? Why wouldn't I just decide to fast 13 hours now?
Yeah. Because if you think about it, our ancestors weren't sitting on the couch snacking up late at night after their dinner, you know, in the bleed zones out in Sardinia. They're not like sitting on the couch having a packet of hobnobs, like watching a movie.
Yeah.
It's just what our ancestors did.
That's right. And a good question really to always ask yourself is, what did my ancestor do in this moment? Like it's, you know, I always say like, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have a pantry. They didn't have, like, we have DoorDash here or Uber Eats that brings you food. Like, they didn't have any of that. So their body had to rely on this other fuel source, this fasting window. So when you think you're going to die without food, you may just shock yourself because you discover a whole new side of your body that you never even knew was there because we're now in a culture that eats all day.
Yeah. It's so fascinating, and also comfort eating is what we tend to do at nighttime. I'm really conscious of your time. I'll only keep you for 10 more minutes, but could you talk to us a little bit about the, you know, nutrition for the power phases? Because that's what women really connected with our podcast. They were like, what? Like, and when we said like the hormones should have a sitcom and there were all these different characters, it just really hit home for people.
Yeah. Yeah, let me go through the cycle and I'll just sort of walk through the different pieces of that. So day one is the day you bleed and hormones are the lowest. So in order to bleed, you sort of get this hormonal drop. So that's the first thing to know. Then for the next 10 days, your body's going to build estrogen. Think of each hormone as there's an environment in which they thrive. And for estrogen, the environment in which she thrives in order for her to build is keeping glucose low. This means this is a great time for fasting because in fasting, you're keeping your blood sugar lower. It also means this is a great time for low carb living. So lean into more vegetables, more meats, but stay away from the pastas, the breads, the cakes, the cookies. Like if you're going to stay away from desserts, that is the time, because you're going to create an environment in which estrogen can build. If you want to work out really hard, you're like really intense, like aerobic, like worker outer, that's a great time, because all of the things that you do to improve your metabolic health and keep your blood sugar low, estrogen will love. Now, estrogen has a personality, and her personality is what I call, what I would say is like, she's an extrovert. She brings her girl gang with her. She brings serotonin. She brings dopamine. She brings acetylcholine. These are neurotransmitters that make you want to connect with others, that make us verbal processors, that help us hold on to memories. So that first 10 days of our cycle, we're going to feel more outward. We're going to feel like more connection. So, and map this, if you have a cycle, start to notice this. Then when we go into ovulation, something really interesting happens. So day 11 to day 15, we get this estrogen hits her peak. And just so we're clear, estrogen allows us to use both our right and left side of our brains. So we can be very logical and we be very creative. So when estrogen hits her peak, I just had Martha Beck on my podcast. I don't know if you know who she is.
She was on my podcast yesterday.
Oh, really? Amazing. Okay, this is perfect. Okay, so this is perfect because it ties into this. So I don't know if she explained it to you this way, but she explained that anxiety is when we're only using the left side of our brain. Yes. And we need to learn to use the right side of our brain so that we can start to use a more complete version of our brain. Well, I want to map that to when estrogen hits her peak at ovulation. Like you are your most creative self. If you want to draw, if you want to paint, if you want to build a business, you need to use your right side of your brain more, but specifically during day 10 to day 15 of your menstrual cycle, because estrogen is demanding you use your creativity, and she has all these neurochemicals coming in. She's giving you access to the right side of your brain. Use it. And if you don't use it, you're going to what's going to happen is what Martha's saying. You're going to end up in a more anxious state.
Yes.
So, Wow. So that, yeah, it's so that's fascinating. You just had her on your podcast.
I know. Crazy.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's ovulation. Then the other hormone that comes in from day 10 to day 15 is testosterone. So testosterone gives us motivation and drive. So that makes, it's not just libido. It makes us want to do something, which is why now we're highly creative. We're highly communicative. We have testosterone that makes us motivated. And then we get a little bit of progesterone that calms us. This is why I call day 10 to day 15 your manifestation phase. And you can manifest whatever you want. You can manifest a baby if you want. You can manifest a new job. You can manifest conflict resolution. Like there's so much to understand your superpower there is huge. Now, from an eating and fasting point, when you have a lot of hormones, the most important thing becomes breaking those hormones down. So in Eat Like a Girl, I have a whole chapter on the manifestation phase and what do we do from a lifestyle perspective. And two major things that I recommend is eat a lot of fiber, because fiber is going to help you break those hormones down, and eat a lot of protein, because protein has amino acids in it that are key for being able to make these hormones. So if you go, let's use an example of somebody going into ovulation, estrogen is peaking, but they're not using the creative brain. They're not using estrogen how she should be used. You might feel a little edgy. You might feel a little bitey. You might feel, because you're not in alignment with your human self. You're not in alignment with your feminine self. Your hormones are demanding a certain thing from you, and yes, you're repressing that. And then testosterone is giving you motivation. So if you go in and you're like, I've had so many women that tell me like, I don't feel good during ovulation. I'm like, are you crazy? You should feel amazing during ovulation. So maybe you're not eating enough fiber to be able to break these hormones down. Maybe you're not eating enough protein to be able to make enough testosterone. So you feel horrible at ovulation because you're not congruent with your feminine body. Mm. I have in one of my favorite parts of Eat Like a Girl is there's a 2-page spread of what I call the top 20, the key 24 nutrients you need to make a hormone. And when you look at that and you get that book, if you're not eating enough protein, if you're not eating enough good fats, if you're not eating enough fiber, you're not, and plants, you're not getting all of these nutrients. So you're not making enough hormones. So you feel horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then what does our society do? Go, oh, well, you don't feel good. Let's change. Let me give you an exogenous hormone. And then when you come out of the ovulation window, you have another drop in hormones, which is why I called it power phase number two. You can go back into more fasting. You can go back into, you know, more of the keto, what I call keto biotic, like go into that low carb. It's a great time to try to lose weight. And then day 19 is the nurture phase. And this is where progesterone gets her glory. And I always say progesterone is like an introvert. And she is like, wants you to sit on the couch. She doesn't want you, like, she doesn't want you to push yourself. So she wants you to eat more carbs. She doesn't want you to fast. She doesn't want you to work out hard. She wants you to just chill out so she can make her appearance. And then when progesterone peaks, you have your uterine lining sheds and you bleed and the whole thing starts over again. In Eat Like a Girl, I came up with this theory just to try to help women understand that if estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone were at a party, estrogen would be the extrovert. She would be the one going around to everybody at the party and she'd be the life of the party. Testosterone would be the one that would be like, I never want this party to end. Like, how long is this party going? And progesterone would be in the corner saying, when is this over?
Yeah.
I need to go home and rest. So you have those three personalities in you all month long. So to your point, the power phase one, your body wants to be, you want to be more outward. Then we go into ovulation. You're going to be motivated. What do you want to do with that motivation? And then we come in the back half and it's time to rest and recover.
Wow. It's just like, I don't know if I said this to you the last time, but my friend Jerry, who's a life coach, he always says we're one question short of a major breakthrough at all times, because mm-hmm. I don't think we ask enough questions about our bodies and our health, and we don't question enough, you know. And no. I think what you're doing is just giving people life-changing advice. It's so incredible. Like, how important is good nutritious food to us?
Well, so that was the other thing that concerned me with Fast Like a Girl, was so many women were like, I love the fasting window, but I'm never going to eat food. And so I'm like, but food is medicine. Look at, we just talked about, like, you need these nutrients, you need fiber, you need protein. So, you know, we have to look at fasting as a healing state you put yourself in. You get to choose how long it is. In Fast Like a Girl, I wrote out 6 different lengths. But food is medicine. Every single time you sit down and you look at your plate, ask yourself, is this medicine right now? Did I put together medicine? And in the book, I have something called the Eat Like a Girl philosophy. And it's 3 different principles that you can use when you're putting a plate of food together so that you make sure every meal is hormonal medicine. So, but think about what women have done around our relationship with food. We've manipulated it, we've restricted it, we've calorie counted it, and we haven't been giving it the credit it deserves to be hormonal medicine in our body. And that is what I'm really trying to bring back now.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite answers to a question I've ever asked on my podcast, because I think it represents such balance. You know, yes. Your message is so balanced in terms of, yes, you can fast, but hello, when you are eating, you need to eat well, and you need to eat, which is so important, right?
So important. And eat and enjoy the food, which is why I hired these professional chefs. Food doesn't have to be like utilitarian. You don't have it. It should be a joyful, nourishing experience.
Yeah. So, okay. So the last question I'll ask you then, Dr. Mindy, is what is your favorite recipe in the book?
Oh my God. Okay. I have to pick two. I have to pick two because there's two chefs. So what we did was Chef Leslie did a whole plant-based track. So those of you that are vegan, like, I hope you feel seen in here. I have a whole 30-day reset in the back that's specific. You can just follow 30 days just for plant-based. And then you can follow 30 days if you're omnivore and you eat meat. So with Chef Leslie, she has a kimchi edamame bowl. And she did a couple of bowls. She did that and she did a Buddha bowl. Now, you're going to see a lot of fermented food in here because fermented food adds in good bacteria. So I don't know if fermented food is popular in Ireland.
It is, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my favorite is her kimchi edamame bowl because it has quinoa in it, which is quinoa is a better source than rice. It has protein in it. And as women, we need more protein. She put kimchi in it. Kimchi is a very interesting fermented food because you have what when you ferment foods, the different vegetables you're fermenting will create different bacteria. So kimchi, the green onions in it, actually creates a bacteria that supports the immune system. And so you're getting, and then it has that spice in it, and the spice speeds up metabolism. So just in the kimchi alone, it's really yummy. But then we put edamame on it. So I'm really trying to bring soy back. I feel like a lot of women got really scared of soy. And so, but edamame is a phytoestrogen. It actually will give you the positive, good estrogen. So she put that on there. And then there's a bunch of other vegetables. So that's that. And then Chef Jeff did a salmon furikake is what he calls it. And he takes wild salmon, which, by the way, if you get wild salmon, it has so many omega-3s in it. And we need omega-3s to make hormones. So you get wild salmon, and then he put coconut sugar and some salt on the top. You marinate it for like an hour if you choose to do it in the refrigerator so it soaks in. Then you actually take the rub the salt and sugar off, and he has this incredible glaze. It's like a mustard, honey mustard glaze that he created that you put on top, and then you stick it in the broiler and you broil it, and then you shake it at the end with like sesame seeds and seaweed combo that he teaches you how to do. You put those two together and you have hormonal medicine.
Oh, I love that. And like, ask yourself what makes my body sing, and it's all of those beautiful foods. Dr. Mindy, thank you so, so much for I could be on this call like still in 5 hours firing questions at you.
Thank
you for your time. You're the best in the world.
Oh, thank you. I always love being with you. And, you know, to your followers, like, that really warms my heart that the last episode really resonated. And I keep wanting to remind women that if what I say resonates with you, it's because it's a truth that's inside you. And that truth, all I'm doing is shining light on that truth. So keep going with that. Keep building with that, because there is a power within you that wants to work with you. So keep working with it, and you will find you'll never live in a body that has disease. You'll never live in a body you hate. But it's a moment when you hear my words and you're like, whoa, like, this feels true. Yes, it is, because you had that inner knowing in you. Now let's grow that inner knowing together.
Yeah, follow that. Follow it.
Yeah, follow that.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Glow. As I said in the intro, we're over in Chicago, we're running the half marathon, we are having the time of our lives, and we have such an incredible crew with those 60 of us running in the half marathon today. As I said, if you want to join us in New York, check out thegoodglow.ie. We're starting training in October, and the countdown is on to our half marathon on St. Patrick's weekend in New York. So as I said, thegoodglow.ie. Thanks a million. Talk to you next week.